This is Carl Thomas, and you're listening to the Tomorrow's Leaders podcast with another Rising Star special. And with me today is Kat. Thanks for joining me.
No problem.
Can you introduce yourself to the listeners and say a few words about what you do?
Yeah, so my name's Kat Hannah. I am Associate Director of Urban Change at Cushman & Wakefield, which basically means I'm in the research and insight team, and it's really about getting thought leadership into property. So rather than, you know, necessarily always just looking backwards to data about rents or what's been happening in the past, just looking at what are those big trends that are really going to affect what we build, where we build, and how we build.
How do you get into that?
How long have we got? It's been a... I'm often not quite sure, and I often I get asked that question a lot, and I think a few people were probably surprised when I started working at Cushman. I kind of fell into all things urban, if I'm honest. I've had a pretty nomadic career previously, working in Parliament, working in lobbying, and then previously in a think tank. So it's kind of, I've slowly narrowed down more and more to be focusing on the built environment, but with a strong interest in politics and policy as well.
Hmm. So what was it that drew you to the built environment?
Again, I think, one of the first things I did kind of post-university, I was working as a researcher into the riots in Tottenham, and was just basically going around interviewing people how they felt about Tottenham. And what something that really interested me was actually how often people would talk about the place and how it felt and how it looked and what they did like and what they didn't like. And I think, you know, that to me, I think, got, you know, started thinking about the role that built environment plays and think people's day-to-day lives and how they experience the city. And then I kind of got into the policy side when I went over to work for David Lammy. So again, MP for Tottenham, again, more focused then about, you know, what sort of type of development should we be doing? And then seeing a bit more of it from the commercial side when I went over to London Chamber of Commerce. So I've kind of come at it from all angles. But I think it's that constant theme that it is something we, you know, experience every day walking around. And, you know, it's I think we're getting so much better actually at articulating what we do and what we don't like. And, you know, I think it's actually a really exciting time to, you know, to be in the sector.
Is there anything specifically that's kind of keeping you up at night? In property, is there anything specific?
Yeah, I found myself getting quite into transport more and more recently. I think in particular, partly when I arrived at Cushman, there was a project waiting for you on my desk, which was something looking at driverless cars and their impacts on real estate, which I won't go into now, safe to say I'm relatively cynical. But, you know, and I think actually, you know, that was almost a hook for actually thinking about, well, what do we need in terms of transport infrastructure? What do we know about how people are moving around the city and why? How can we learn actually from previous mistakes we made where we built cities very much prioritizing the car over walking, cycling, human interaction and public transport? So I'm always keeping an eye, you know, often looking at the US and, you know, what's the latest, you know, bit of mobility technology that's being trialed over there. But I think probably, like I said, making sure that we really learn from where we went wrong previously when planning and designing our cities with a mind to transport.
I had a quick look at your Twitter before this, and you seem very London-focused.
Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty unashamedly London-focused. I've often said every job I've had has pretty much had London in the title, working for London MP. London Chamber of Commerce, Centre for London think tank. I was born in London, I've lived here my whole life. That said, for me, you know, a huge part of the appeal of joining a company, you know, with the presence of Cushman is actually really looking and learning from other cities and what we do there. So, you know, whilst I'm kind of, that is what my background is in policy, you know, I'm very much aware there is so much to learn from other cities and not even just global cities, but, you know, elsewhere across the UK, you know, within Europe and further beyond.
What does Morden mean to you?
What does Morden mean to me? So I actually spent 2 years living in Morden. It's a place close to my own heart. You have some prolific Twitter stalking here, I can see. You've done your research as a researcher, I very much like to see. I mean, that's going to be an exciting one for some regeneration. And I think actually, you know, it's easy. You know, I work in the city every day. I live in Zone 2, London. And you forget that actually for a lot of people, their experience of London actually is suburban London. And I think it's an area that, you know, we sometimes struggle with policy-wise. I think it's sometimes, you know, characterised as, you know, and especially somewhere like Morden, as, you know, being a bit soulless, you know, not being much going on there. It's the end of the line, both, you know, literally, you know, and metaphorically. So, you know, I think actually, you know, if we're looking at where there's opportunity to not just densify our city, but actually offer, you know, new ways of living that appeal perhaps to younger people who would look to the suburbs, there's actually a lot that's exciting there. It's not quite there yet, but I wouldn't dismiss it.
Now, as a relatively young person in property, what is your experience of this industry as a whole?
Ooh, again, how long do we have for this one? I think one frustration I had is the use of the word millennial. And I actually got an email today introducing me as the resident millennial at Cushman & Wakefield. I think it's safe to say there's more than just me. People conflating the word millennial with young person, you know, the amount of time I hear, oh, these millennials, what they want when they come out of university is this, and, you know, ignoring the fact that actually most millennials, or a lot of them now, including myself, are 30 or older. So I think, you know, a lot of, I think, quite lazily sometimes maybe throwing around, you know, some of these terms. And I think there's also questions as to, you know, actually how much can we generalize, you know, the demands of a cohort? Because actually, I think, you know, when you look at, you know, different profiles within a workforce, you know, at Cushman, we're talking a lot about, you know, getting the best work, you know, the best workplace possible. You know, focusing only on millennials, you know, firstly, millennials go up the transition, but also actually we have multi-generational workforces. You know, increasingly we've got older people staying in work for longer. We've obviously got the younger generations coming through now. So I think, again, I'm sometimes cautious against, we seem to have this obsession with talking about millennials. Obviously, as a generation, we're self-centered. So, you know, it served me quite well. I love it. But I think I would encourage people to say, you know, look really across that age spectrum, and I think actually to the other things that will affect, you know, how people want to work and, you know, and how they do so.
Do you have anything positive to say?
Anything positive to say? I've got to say, I mean, and I think my experience at, you know, at Cushman in particular, I think there is an openness actually, and I think a feeling that, you know, the fact that even someone like me with no background in property has been hired by a property company is, I think, surprising, and I'd like to think refreshing as well. You know, I think we're thinking a lot more about actually the value of diversity, and again, that might be in professional background, but also, you know, ethnicity, gender, class. And I think, you know, I'm not saying anything's perfect, but I think the recognition that there is a problem is happening. And I think actually, if you look at the pipeline, if you look at, you know, graduates coming into the profession, way, way better than anything I've seen before. So I think, you know, that's really encouraging. And then actually looking at how that talent's nurtured as well, you know, I think awards like this is one way of doing that as well. So that's something that's actually really, I think, kind of pleasantly surprised me. And actually, I think the willingness of, you know, senior leaders, and I should say, you know, and I say people with a lot more experience than me, aka those who are, you know, probably more in the baby boomer category, very willing to share their expertise and time, and to probably put up with what I imagine are sometimes frustrating questions from me.
Mm. Well, it is a very social industry. Everyone loves to talk. Everyone loves to share a little bit about what they know. And
now I think I've realized why I like it so much.
So what do you want to do from here? What's the do you have any specific aspirations?
I was fastest in an interview, and I said I wanted to be mayor of London, so I'm being careful with that one, because though it is time we had a female one. That's a very interesting question. I mean, to be honest, every job I've had so far, I've never really known existed until I either applied for it or sort of was told about it. You know, I've never been one of those people that sort of had a path mapped out. I mean, for me, and again, part of the rationale behind, you know, going to Cushman is actually getting involved in, you know, projects and schemes. I've come from a background of doing quite a lot of the kind of narrative, the background, the theory, almost, you know, relatively academic in some contexts. So I think actually to kind of get stuck in some specific projects, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's really exciting happening in London right now and beyond there. So I think in the short term, really getting involved more in that, I think.
So is there a chance that you might end up doing something completely different in 2-3 years?
I'd never say never.
I need to ask this. You retweeted Vanilla Ice on Ice at Alexandra Palace.
Yes.
Did you go there?
I did not. And I have been known sometimes to call out, and again, I think it's, so this is something that millennials are very guilty of, is the need that we can no longer just have a bar. It needs to be a pop-up bar with a nice rink and a ball pit and etc. I would make an exception for the vanilla ice on ice. I don't know, you know, how widely listened to this podcast is, but if anyone at Ali Pali is listening, if they can recommission that for this year, I will definitely be there.
Right. And actually, one last question.
Yeah.
Just to keep you on your toes, since you're a rising star.
Yeah.
You're clearly very in tune with stars and space. What is your favorite constellation in the night sky?
Ooh. Orion's Belt, mainly because it's referenced in Men in Black.
Thank you, Kat.